All right, welcome to the first of its kind, world-changing manufacturers network. Lisa Ryan has her ears to the ground and her heart in the game. Get ongoing education and new connections right here with Lisa and the manufacturers network. Buckle your seat, listen, and spread the word. Here's Lisa.
Hey, it's Lisa Ryan. Welcome to the Manufacturers Network podcast. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, David Klotz. David is the president of the Precision Metal Forming Association, the trade association representing the $137 billion metal forming industry of North America. David has focused his entire career in manufacturing, mostly in sales and executive leadership positions with a background in accounting. And for the last 5 years, he's been president of PMA. So, David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for having me and really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. So share with us a little bit of your background as far as what actually led you to doing what you're doing in manufacturing and also with PMA.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so my background is my family. My dad was a Price Waterhouse accountant, and he ended up with an accounting firm with Price Waterhouse for a few years. And then a few years, he met a partner that was a German tool and die maker, and they started a stamping company back in the late 60s in South Bend, Indiana. So that's where I'm from and grew up. And when I got older, I was going there to the office when I was in elementary and middle school during high school on Saturdays with them. And then when I started working with them, I actually went to start working with them as a freshman in high school, worked there during the summers in the tool and die area. And then I was painting and I was also cleaning dies, but then I was sweeping floors, doing everything. I was cutting the lawn. But by my last year, I did that for 4 summers, and I had to be there at 5:30 in the morning and worked until 2:30. So I was done with work before a lot of my friends were out just getting up for the day, and they had lifeguard duty or jobs, or they were working, maybe at the mall. But that's how I grew up in manufacturing, with working for my dad. My last year as a senior in high school, I worked out in the stamping area, polishing dies. And getting ready for manufacturing side. So get built up in this industry, and then went to college. And after I went to college, I went back and started working for him. We had a division up in Troy, Michigan. So that's what took me up to Michigan, and why I've been up here in Michigan since 95.
Okay. So from metal stamping, then you went into software sales and Plex. So how did that happen?
Yeah, so we sold our company in 2006, the family business. And so I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. And I stayed on with the new company for a little bit, but then I realized it probably was a good time to maybe make a transition somewhere else. And so took a couple months off and was trying to look at what I was going to do, interviewed a couple places. And Plex, which is an ERP manufacturing solution out there that a lot of repetitive manufacturers use, had an interview with them. And it was for a sales opportunity, and ended up the interview went well. I know there were some reservations. Even the CEO, Mark Simons, tells me they hired me, but they said they knew if it didn't work out in sales, they were going to move me over to implementation, since I knew process routings and bill of materials. And I had implemented software ERP solution at our family business. They were going to put me on implementation, but they were giving me sales, about a year and a half to try out sales to see if it worked. And when I went to Plex, I was 50th employee. And when I left, I'm 14. So that was 2006. In 2014, I left, I was 500 employees. So I worked with Plex.
Wow.
It grew massively, but it was a lot of fun on the sales side of it. And I did sales, carried my own bag, of course, and then eventually ran a sales team there.
Yeah, I know. I have a background in sales too, including, 7 years in the welding industry. And you talk about carrying a bag. I was also carrying the 6-inch wide binder with the leather handle with all of our products in it. So the good old days of sales. And I'm sure that, like myself, you don't regret a moment of being in sales. So what were some of the things you learned about sales, and how has it helped you now?
I obviously called on some metal stampers. I called on people that I knew from my experience with my family's business, because we were always the family business, we were always involved in PMA over the years. So that's how I got to know some PMA members and stampers. And so Plex was a really good fit for stampers and then plastic injection molders and all that. But I really like manufacturing. I like when people are making stuff. I think one of the advantages that helped me out is when I'd go on to visit a prospect, I'd say, I'd like to tour your facility. And they're like, salespeople never want to tour the facility. And I said, I'd love to go tour it, because it got me a way to see what they make, their processes, since it was very critical for an ERP. But then also got to me to see what the how the culture of the company was and maybe just how organized it was. Because it also then gauged me how serious might this company be, or and maybe commitment and maybe how well the company is doing. So it helped me on my sales process of what areas I need to hit on and what area people I need to make sure I touched on of the product, or if it was even a strong opportunity.
Yeah. There's a lot that we learn from sales and that we continue to use. I know as an entrepreneur, I certainly continue to use that every day as well. So when it comes to PMA and with associations, I think that it's so important for people to be involved with whatever industry association they are with, because it really becomes your family. You, even though the people are technically your competitors, you get to know them, like them, trust them, learn from each other. And you've been involved with PMA for a long time, just from a family basis. But what made you come to work at PMA and be there for 5 years already?
Yeah, I was working for a German software company for 5 years and really wanted to gain international experience. And I was obviously the president of the North America, so we were the largest subsidiary. So I gained a lot of knowledge there. And I think Bill Gaskin, our president that had been with PMA for a long time, had retired, and they were looking for a new president. And actually, they came to me at that time and it was asked me if I would be interested. And I said, at the time, I said, I'm just 3 years into this with the German international company and I'm not interested. And so they hired somebody else. And unfortunately, in 17 months, it didn't work out. They brought Bill back for a period of time. And then I started talking with a couple other board members, and I was like, yeah, I'd be interested. And so we started talking, and that's how I came on board with PMA. What was nice about it, I already knew a lot of staff already because I had been on the board or been involved in different committees and groups within PMA. And I think you're right about people get a lot of things out of an association, and it's so important. And one of the things with Plex, I was involved with multiple different associations to try to get lead generation and all that. I never saw an association like PMA where truly their peers would help each other out and tour each other's facility and their competitors. I never saw anything like that. Or by references, they'd be happy to call a competitor that was looking at Plex and they're a competitor and they're letting them know, hey, we use Plex and we love it. And I never saw anything like that. And so I've really enjoyed the time so far, the 5 years, it's gone fast. I've really enjoyed it. I care about the members. I care about the industry. And again, it's in my blood.
Right. So I know that a lot of manufacturers struggle with finding talent, especially encouraging the younger generations, millennials and Gen Z, to join their workforce. Is there something, because I know that you've helped to grow PMA significantly over the last couple of years, is there something specific or anything that you're doing to really woo younger people to come to find value in PMA and being in the association?
Yeah, I think working with the PMA team, we've been looking at how we can include as many member benefits, because as I mentioned, our members, there might be some members that obviously are taking advantage of all of our networking opportunities. And then some of our members are taking advantage of all the education possibilities to educate themselves or their team. And then there's the advocacy side. And then there's just the member benefits. While you become a member, you get discounts for different services. It's trying to expand that and offering those benefits that are included with their dues, and try to find different areas that help out the whole company as itself. Maybe not just the CEO, but we've got something for the HR manager that can take advantage of. So many in operations, So throughout the whole organization, we want to be a resource for that for them. And so that's what we've been really tasked to trying to figure out how do we, let's say, offer a complete package to a company that where they can find their benefits that are their benefits they need. And we care about them. And I think that's the big purpose of trying to find those things that we'll take advantage of.
And I think that there's so many opportunities, again, when associations look at what the members like and try to err on the side of almost too many benefits. Being on the faculty for PMA for the last couple of years with the management program and just seeing what a nice opportunity for people who are really emerging leaders in their careers to get not only the education that's provided, but to build those networks that are so important to not only keep people in their respective companies, but also keep them involved in PMA and for looking for those future leaders within your organization as well. So how have you seen that? I know the MDA has been going on for a long time. Do you have some success stories as far as how what you've done with that program and what you've seen as a result from it?
Yeah, we're now on our 13th year of the MDA program. PJ Thompson from Transmatic kind of kicked it off when he was chair of something he really wanted to create. And like I said, it's a huge success. We sell out every year. There's already a waiting list for the next year's class. And yeah, we bring quality speakers like yourself to focus on. These are people coming up in the organization that maybe doesn't have any P&L responsibility yet, or they've never really managed a team. And so we're trying to give them those tools and things to go through that they can become a better manager, but then also create a networking group that they can go and reach out to somebody in their industry and say, hey, how are you dealing with this? Or I need some help or something like that. And so the MDA program has been huge for that. And those MDA people, the younger, and mostly they're the younger generation, they now are getting involved in our districts. So some of those lead people that participate in MDA are now like our district chair or our education chair at our district. So we have 16 districts around the country and they're all volunteer run by our members. And so that's great to see them there. And they're also networking within their district. And then just recently, PMA we had 5 CEO, like kind of executive networking groups that get together either twice or 3 times a year. We just started our 6th networking group and it's called the 301 and it's all from past MDA participants. So we've got a group of right now 15 individuals. I think it's going to probably grow to about 22, 23 individuals. And it's called the 301 group. Why they picked that name. They've got a couple people in the group that bowled 300s and a couple people have also had a hole in one. So it's called the 301 club. And then somebody's address was 301 at their company and just a lot of different unique things that they created their own team. And we have a facilitator that facilitates it. Forrest Large is the facilitator for that networking group. And it was a huge success. They launched this summer.
And it's really interesting because when you think about CEOs, they run into their own challenges and they don't really have anybody within their own organization a lot of times that they can share that with because other people may not know what they're going through. So giving them that option to build those relationships with people who are in that same position as they are, it creates a safe space, it would seem to me. For them to really get a lot accomplished together.
Yeah. So 4 of them are CEO executive level. And then our 5th one is more of, let's say, a VP of sales, director of sales leaders are in the 5th group. And the 6th group is the next gen, the 301 group is a mixture of a couple of people from HR, somebody from operations, but they're more mid-management level people, but they're really respected within their organization. It's great the organization wants to invest in them. And they're also trying to find and they're getting together a peer group that they can grow together with.
Yeah. Boy, you guys have a lot going on there. So I know that you have a really fantastic team. I've had the opportunity to work with them personally. And I know you wanted to just share some highlights as far as how awesome they are. And the other reason that I think this is important because it's not like you have a huge team. But when you have people who are committed, who get along well together, that you create that environment for them to bloom and grow together, it's such an important thing to do. So for people who are listening to this podcast going, man, that sounds like he's got a whole lot of people going on, and how do you do that? Now, share with us a little bit about your PMA team and what people do over there.
Yeah, so we've got a team of 30 individuals, mostly based out of there in Cleveland and Independence, Ohio, where the headquarters is at. We have a few individuals that are remote and different locations throughout the country, but amazing team. And we've had some employees that have been there for 25, close to 30 years. And then we have some younger professionals, and it's just, they're an amazing team. We haven't been able to do this growth, and hats off to the team for all this. And then adding this other networking group and all the education and networking events we put on, they just do a tremendous job. And so a few people I want to highlight here, Caitlin Stratus is our director of meetings and events. She was with PMA, she left and was able to bring her back, and she's a rock star, and she's got a team under her that put on almost 60 events a year, which is crazy. That's just locally in the district. That's just nationally. And then locally at the district level, there's another 60 events. But Caitlin is a great leader, and I lean on her a lot, and a great asset to the team. And then, you know, Christy Camagiano, she's been with the company for many years, and she leads our advocacy efforts. So she works with Omar Ashishibi and John Gusick, and we lobby in DC. And so that's one of the things that uniques about PMA is we have an advocate, we're a 501c6. So we lobby on DC on behalf of our members on initiatives for workforce development, to anything that's affecting our members and their industry and what we can do in government side of it. So she heads that up. And we got Randy Kish that heads up the districts. When I came on, and then Brad Coven, the editor of Metal Forming Magazine, he's been on board for many years, and the magazine, best it's ever, ever been at, really doing a nice job with the magazine. And then two people that I brought on, Mike Volan, he's the publisher of Metal Forming Magazine, and then also the VP of Sales. I think that was crucial because the magazine is a separate entity of the association, but we all work as one, and the magazine's basically a part of PMA. And even though it was a separate entity, it seemed like for over the years, it was about two separate groups and they worked independently. With Mike coming on board, and my vision is we're all one group and we're doing a lot more sharing that we have done in the past. And so it might be part of Metalform, but that's part of PMA, and PMA is part of Metalform. And that's been great. So we do share a lot of events together. And then last person is Mark Getzey. He's our CFO and COO. This role is very critical because when the board hired me, they wanted me to get on the road. I like sales. I like interacting with members. And so I wanted, when it, really the members probably hadn't been engaged at their facility for a while. And for the last 5 years, I've done a lot of traveling and visiting a lot of members. Probably over 110, 120 members I've visited. Even during times in COVID, I went to visit them. If they were willing, or they asked me to come, I said, sure. Over the 5 years, and there's a lot more I need to hit of the 900 members, but having Mark on board and Mike has helped me do what I'm able to do, what the board wanted to do. And I think going out and visiting the members, seeing what they want in the association or what they need and hearing from them, I can go back and tell the team this, and we can figure out how we can help that find a solution for them. But it also shows that I'm trying to build a community here. On social media, I do hashtag PMA community a lot. And I want members and companies that are not part of PMA, part of the community. So we can grow. The stronger the community, the stronger the industry is how I put it.
Yeah, and I've seen that with lots of associations, that connection. There was one association that I was president of, and as I was incoming president, I actually reached out to members that hadn't come to meetings or hadn't been connected for a while, and their comment was, nobody from this association has ever called me. So just these little things that we do, hey, can I come out and see your plant? Hey, can I pick up the phone? How are you doing? How can we as an association serve you? It's just these little things. If you run an association or you're starting to see membership falling off, what is it that you can do with those little outreaches and featuring your members and talking to your members and asking them how they could serve. And I think sometimes people are afraid or nervous about asking their members what they want, because they think they're going to come back with, you know, we want to be able to go to Napa for our conferences for free and never pay anything. And, you know, all this stuff. And it's no, they know that the organization's valuable and they're going to pay for it, but that's just these little things that maybe you can tweak and do a little bit better. So I really admire that personal connection, the time that you take to do that. Plus, it's really fun to go on plant tours.
I tell you, they're very prideful of what they do. And this is second, third, fourth generation companies. And they love showing off what they do or what they make. And I love meeting some of the team. If I can find out a new person that's maybe the operations manager, at least I get that contact. And now that person's going to, maybe wasn't getting our emails because we didn't have that in the database, but now that person's going to get informed about events that are maybe related to that individual. So I enjoy it. I think our members, I post a lot on social media about it, and I get members calling me all the time or email, hey, if you're ever in, you know, Milwaukee, or if you're ever here, I would we'd love to have you come visit. And I love that. And obviously, as I said, there's 930 members, and I've done over 110, 120. So I got a lot more to go. But I had a member up in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, actually about 4.5 hours north of Minneapolis. And the last time a PMA person visited him was like, and they said like 10, 12 years ago. And the last time a president ever visited him was like, they can't even remember, at present never visit them. I made an effort, and last year, maybe a year and a half ago, I went up there and visited, and it blew my mind. I thought they were a certain size. They were 600 employees. They're middle of nowhere, and they make parts for off-highway and agricultural parts, more shorter volume size, but they were the most automated company I had ever seen. One of the most automated companies I've ever seen. They had robots, Kuka robots and Fanuc robots feeding presses. And even though they were small volume, they were very automated and very impressed. Wow. And it was a great visit. And now I've got a good relationship with the whole management team, which is great.
Yeah. And it means a lot. It means a lot, because, you know, hopefully you went to Minneapolis when it was spring or summer, because
it was actually late spring. So it was not too bad. But I think one of the things I really enjoy, Lisa, I really, and I guess maybe it's a sales background, I love connecting somebody with maybe a service we have, or connecting somebody with another person. So if someone's saying, hey, I'm looking for whatever, I'm looking for a recruiter, we're looking for an engineer, but a good recruiter out there, I can give that person the name. Or, hey, I'm looking at this one process, and or I'm looking at this one piece of equipment, you should talk to so-and-so from this company. I'll connect you. They just bought a new piece of the equipment 2 years ago, and you can get their feedback, Ron. So I love, really enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, awesome. As we're starting to wrap up our time together, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you wish I would have, or that you want to additionally share?
Obviously, I think going forward, our big focus is going to be on education and training. It's always been a part of PMA, but I think a lot of our members and various different industries are struggling to hire people, and they're hiring people that have never been in the industry before. That's where we do a lot of in-class training. We do implant training. So Pete Eulens heads up our technical training side of it. Connie King, our director of workforce development, she heads up our whole workforce development team. We've got now, we have four people now in workforce development team, which say 5 years ago, we had one. And I think that's going to continue to get larger. We launched Metalform EDU back in 2018. That's our online education tool. Now we have over 60 classes that are just specific to metalforming. And then we have a full library of 800 classes that gets into other parts of manufacturing that our members can take advantage of. So I think workforce development is going to continue to be a major focus for our members, because they're hiring people that have not been in the industry, starting from the basics. And then I think the automation is going to continue to keep pushing to how to automate. And so those are areas that we're focused on. But I just want to say hats off to the team at PMA for all their efforts that they've done, help support, supporting myself, but supporting the members. And that's why we've been so successful. We're going on 82 years now as of the association, been around, and so we're looking for another 8 years.
Yep. Somebody did want to get a hold of you and continue the conversation or learn more about PMA. What's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you reach out and obviously call the PMA headquarters. You can reach out. You can always feel free to reach out to me at dklotz@pma.org. I'd recommend following me at LinkedIn. I do a lot of posts on LinkedIn and happy to connect through LinkedIn as well. But yeah, those are the various ways to connect with us and get in front of us. But our website's got a lot of information that has all the different services and products we sell.
All right. David, thank you again so much for joining me today.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Sure. I'm Lisa Ryan, and this is the Manufacturers Network Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Manufacturers Network Podcast. Do me a favor and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues so we can grow this network and connect more fantastic folks just like you. You can either send your buddies to the website at manufacturers-network.com or share the Manufacturers Network podcast on your LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you and your industry friends hang out. The bigger and faster we grow the network, the stronger and deeper the community we'll all have. Thanks again, and I appreciate you.